When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is Jay Flum, Sports Report, here on the Golf News Net and iHeartRadio, and I am indeed Jay Flum. And we're going to bring in our next guest right now. We are bringing back Ryan Ballingee. He is the producer of all things on GNN Radio. He is the founder and owner of GNN Radio and the Golf News Net, all across our platforms. And he's a stalwart fellow to have, telling us all about what's happening on tour. So, Ryan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jay.
Well, give us the latest, okay? When last we left you, we had been discussing the Open Championship and Xander Schauffele's victory. So why don't we pick it up from there? Despite Scottie Scheffler winning the gold medal, I am thinking very much that I'm going to cast my vote for Player of the Year for Schauffele. What are your thoughts on Player of the Year?
I think you could make a valid argument either way. I mean, I think two multiple majors in a year historically tends to get you the nod over another player that has one major or zero majors. I mean, 2-0 is definitely a done deal, but 2-1 plus some other stuff can make it a contest. And certainly Scottie Scheffler's other stuff is a lot of stuff, right? Record amount of prize money on the PGA Tour. He won a gold medal. He won the Players, the first player ever to go back-to-back in the Players in the tournament's 50-year history. Guy won nothing but bangers. He didn't win a dud event. Every event he won was against a tremendous field. They weren't majors, other than obviously the one that he did win, but he also probably could have won the PGA Championship had he not been arrested. So, you know, do you give him 1.5 majors? I mean, I don't know, but I can see the case either way. I can understand why saying, hey, this guy, Xander Schauffele, won 2 majors and he did them in under tremendous pressure. I mean, both of them were very close. They weren't runaways. He had to find something in himself to win both times and was tremendous. That certainly deserves a whole heck of a lot of credit.
Yes, indeed. Scottie Scheffler's year from start to finish was terrific all the way through. And yet, to counterbalance that, you have Xander's terrific performances, not only in the PGA Championship, but in the de facto World Championship, the Open Championship, at Royal Stroom, no less, a heck of a golf course. I'm not as enamored quite so much as you know with Valhalla. I don't necessarily believe that where you win your major necessarily counts, although I do get a good laugh at Brooks Koepka making fun of Dustin Johnson for a while until Justin Johnson won the Masters, and then that was the end of that. But, well, nevertheless, it's an interesting argument that we could have. Okay, what about Rookie of the Year?
That's a tricky one. I mean, I always struggle, too, with what constitutes a rookie. Because, like, Ludvig Åberg, I still think of it. I mean, he hadn't even really been seasoned a full year until, what, May, June? And he, I mean, he's a world-class player, obviously one of the best in the world. I think you have, if we were having a broader philosophical discussion, that would be my case. Matt McCarty came right off of the Korn Ferry Tour, had an incredible 3 month stretch on the Korn Ferry Tour, won three times, got promoted, and then found a way to win practically right away by being promoted from the Korn Ferry Tour. I don't care who you are, to win three times on that tour when you have to, and then to win on the PGA Tour, knowing that if you don't, you're exempt, but you get way better status by being a winner. I think he's probably the realistic guy to win it.
Again, it's a tale of two terrific stories, one early, one late, and you could take your pick on either one. I am a big fan of Hubert, simply because of the way he just came out and dominated at such a crucial time, you know, and all of a sudden, boom, he's just playing phenomenal golf for a while. In fact, he was playing some of the best golf on the entire PGA Tour. It was fascinating to watch him. He's such an interesting character as well. Well, all right, let's talk a little bit about what the future holds, okay? What have you been hearing from the players on the LIV Tour? And in particular, are you hearing any rumblings on unification?
I think it's a moving target. I think anything that's happened with the Saudis is a moving target. I think, politically speaking, whatever will be announced is going to be timed better with the incoming second Trump administration. Rory McIlroy kind of let the cat out of the bag there a little bit. But I think that the reality is that Trump's Department of Justice is going to place a different scrutiny on this proposed arrangement, whatever it turns out to be, compared to the Biden administration, or frankly, any other administration, because Trump is so interested in golf and is so invested in Saudi Arabia as a relationship, both politically and diplomatically, but also just purely from a business standpoint. So I think it'll, if anything gets announced, it's going to be probably in the first quarter of next year. LIV's already made their schedule for 2025. That's already known and done. We're getting close to the point where there's going to be a LIV 2026. We're not that far from that point. So unless something gets done, I'll say by February, and even then, I don't think even the most expeditious of reviews from the DOJ and the FTC would get this done by then. So at a minimum, we're looking at a 2025 and a 2026 LIV season, almost certainly. So there's going to be two more full seasons of LIV. I think the players who are involved on the PGA Tour side recognize that. LIV's in a weird place because a lot of the contracts of the players who signed on originally for 2022, they're 3 or 4 year deals. They're not lifetime deals. They're not 5 year deals. They're not 10 year deals, anything like that. They're 3 or 4 years. So, think
And
about
then
your
we're coming
Dustin
up.
Johnsons, Brooks Koepkas, your even Phils, like guys like that. If you had a 4 year deal when you were an early signee, guess what? That's coming to an end. And also, guess what? They're not going to re-sign you for that exorbitant amount of money that you got paid to come over. And guys have to kind of decide whether they want what they've got and live, which I think a lot of them do. Or, if you're a middling player or someone who just doesn't have easy access to the majors, you may consider walking away in favor of trying to rack up some world ranking points to start getting back on the possibility of getting in the majors through your world ranking.
What rumblings are you hearing with regards to how happy or unhappy are the rank and file players with the ascension or re-ascension of Donald Trump to the White House?
I don't think it's a secret that most PGA Tour players run to the right of the political spectrum. So I think probably the general reaction is They're fine with it. I mean, all things politics aside, I don't think he has much of a bearing otherwise. The tax cuts that he passed in 2017, they're coming to their expiration, so they may be in for a rude awakening if that doesn't get extended or made permanent. So, I mean, I guess there's that to it. But beyond that, I think just the general view of a PGA Tour player is Republican good, Democrat bad.
We're talking with Ryan Ballengee, the Chief Muckety Muck Executive Officer, publisher, owner, founder, and all things Golf News Net related. I'm Jay Flemma Sports Report, and I am Jay Flemma. Well, Ryan, now tell us a little bit about some of the tournaments that have happened since the Olympics and take us up through the end of the calendar year.
The fall has been still very busy, even though a lot of people probably waned in how much attention they pay to the PGA Tour, especially the TV ratings sure as hell bear that out. LIV Golf obviously ended its season with Jon Rahm being its champion, at least individually speaking. And he played pretty well throughout the year. So did Tyrrell Hatton, two guys who made the jump to LIV this year. And probably will be there through the end of LIV's existence, whatever that looks like. And then on the PGA Tour side, the fall has been transformed from a reason to get some top 50 players to show up each week and get some head start FedEx Cup points to really, truly an opportunity for lesser ranked players, younger players with poorer status to try to save their card, maybe make a significant leap and get into a couple of the big $20 million events here, stateside, not in Hawaii, but the first two on the mainland. And then on the LPGA side, they've had a big Asian swing. They're just coming into their final two events of the year in Florida, 120 player event at the Annika, and then one of the best events of the year, 60 player event, the CME Group Tour Championship, with the biggest single first place prize in the history of women's golf, which is $4 million to the winner of a 60-player tournament next week in Naples. So that'll be a great dramatic finish to the year. They're really, after Nelly Korda's dominant run, winning six times in the LPGA, there really has not been a truly dominant player in that way the rest of the season. But Lydia Ko has been brilliant, won a major, won another, or one of the Olympic gold medals. She's the only player to have gold, silver, and bronze in the three Olympics that since its return. So she's collected all the medals, which is pretty cool. And she's sewn up a Hall of Fame career on the LPGA, which is, I mean, makes this a tremendous year for her. Now on the DP World Tour side, a lot of kind of cool stories that are happening on the DP World Tour, but their season concludes this week in Dubai with the second of two playoff events. They created a little mini doubleheader playoff series now that they have for 70 players and then 50 players. And that's going to determine the fate of 10 PGA Tour cards as well. So we're going to get a whole bunch of new players into the PGA Tour system from the DP World Tour. So we'll get to see Tristan Lawrence. We'll get to see Paul Waring, who won the penultimate event on the schedule. We'll get to see Mateo Manasero on the PGA Tour, which is kind of cool. Kid who won
Amazing.
the Kid who won at the age of 17, completely lost his way, found it again, won again this year, played well enough the rest of the way to get on the PGA Tour. That's a cool story.
Yep.
And
We covered him all those years ago in the US Open.
here he is again. And then
Yeah.
Bernhard Langer is still winning on the Champions Tour. He won their final event. Steve Alker won the season-long race. Congrats to him for doing it again. But Bernhard Langer snapped his Achilles in what, January? And then comes back. He had intended to kind of wave goodbye at the Masters. So he's got to do that now, next April. But he waved goodbye to the DP World Tour. And then he wins in the season-ending event to make it 18 consecutive seasons on the PGA Tour Champions with a win. He broke or tied his age three times in four rounds in that tournament, which I think is up now to like 24 or 25 times he has broken his age on the PGA Tour Champions, which is insane. And he's still got that competitive fire. So there are a lot of cool stories in the fall, even though there aren't as many people interested necessarily watching day to day, but there's a lot of cool stuff happening.
I got to say, okay, it was a nice walk down memory lane when you mentioned Bernhard Langer's name. All these decades of not only phenomenal play, but what an ambassador for the game as well. He's one of the true greats. He belongs in the pantheon of the game's greatest champions. So, what a way to finish his season too, to wave goodbye and then, well, wait a minute, the sun hasn't quite set yet. Kind of a little bit
Yeah.
like when Phil Mickelson won at the PGA Championship in Kiawah Island. Of course, then Phil Mickelson turned traitor on the rest of us, but we won't talk about that at the
But I have to commend Langer for still having the competitive drive to care, to want to pursue something that he hadn't done before, which was win the season-ending event at Phoenix Country Club. He just finds motivation and
And his day is.
there aren't many people who are kicking alive and well at 67, nearly 68, competitively at anything. And he's
And
still
to be
finding new
in
ways to be motivated.
as phenomenal shape as he's in, not quite as good as Gary Player, but he could probably give Player a good run for his money. And he'll keep his clothes on as opposed to Player. Or did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. Well, anyway, Ryan, one last thing. Now, tell us a little bit about the college ranks. Who should be watching out for coming onto the tour next season?
Well, Gordon Sargent's going to be the guy to look out for. He's the only player so far since PGA Tour U is created to earn enough points through their acceleration system to get himself a PGA Tour card when he gets out of school. He's deferred that a little bit, but he's going to be able to make the leap. He's an incredibly powerful player. Hits the ever-living crap out of the ball. Yeah, that's the first guy you got to think about. Christo Lamprecht had a great run in the Open, what, last year, not this year, but the year prior, and he's starting to kind of make his way into the professional world, so that leap has already happened, but maybe somewhat quietly. I mean, there's so much depth now in the professional game and the collegiate game that a lot of those players that, I mean, maybe are the third or fourth best player on a high power, highly power ranked college team could be on the PGA Tour within 2 years' time. And they're going to have to go prove themselves, a lot of them on the Korn Ferry Tour. But with PGA Tour U now giving accelerated and enhanced status to players based on what they did in college, it really shortens that pipeline to the PGA Tour, which I think is a great thing. I mean, if you accomplished a lot and can be put in a position because of your amateur career to get starts on the Korn Ferry Tour and give yourself a chance to get the PGA Tour, by all means. I mean, I think that should be the way to go. So I think that's going to continue to accelerate how quickly we see guys come from the collegiate ranks and get to the PGA Tour and succeed. And oh, by the way, the LPGA Tour next week is going to announce their version of PGA Tour U, and they're going to have an accelerated system for women's collegiate and women's amateur golf to get to the LPGA Tour. So that's great too.
Tell us what Tiger Woods has been up to lately.
Negotiating deals and riding in a cart, I guess. With TGL coming out, I think there's a lot of energy being spent on that. That'll debut in January. The high, kind of hybrid simulator indoor golf league that's going to be played in Florida over the course of 15 matches, and then a couple of weeks of playoffs. So he and Rory McIlroy have an ownership stake in that, so they'll be busy with that. They're all also involved with whatever is going on negotiations wise with the Saudis, so they're basically simpatico on their schedules, at least. I don't know if they always see the eye to eye about how the Saudis and the PGA Tour should work together, but doesn't seem particularly likely that he's going to go play in the Hero World Challenge in December. He'll host, of course, but doesn't sound like he's necessarily keen on participating. But we'll see what happens there. If he's feeling up to it, he'll give himself a spot, and maybe we'll see him then. If not then, I do think we'll see him play in the PNC Parent Child Championship, the Family Championship. Used to be called the Father Son, but now it's expanded well beyond that. So I think we'll see him and Charlie Woods play in that at the end of the year in Orlando.
Well, Ryan, thanks for coming on the show. We'll be glad to have you back on as we get closer towards the end of the year and start talking about Kapalua.
Before you know it, it'll be 2025. This was probably the fastest year of my life. So here we go again very soon.
Excellent. All right, everybody. I am Jay Flemmis, signing off this episode of Jay Flemmis Sports Report on the Golf News Net and iHeartRadio.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you, it finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ziprecruiter.com/zip. That's ziprecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you, it finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ziprecruiter.com/zip. That's ziprecruiter.com/zip. ziprecruiter.com/zip.